Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Because you have given us a divine mandate for the nations. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus, because your grace takes us, your grace covers us, your grace puts us on top, Heavenly Father. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, because we are taught each and every day of your ways, to walk in them, to know them and to walk in them, and to never depart from them. And we thank you because this generation, this final army, you've equipped, Heavenly Father, to stay in those ways and to never be moved away from them. We thank you because we seek the heavenly design, and that design do we build here on earth. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of walking with you, for the honor of knowing you, and for the sanctification wherewith you've set us apart to be your own, the people whom you use for this end time move. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now the scripture says in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You shall be endowed with power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Somebody say in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, this generation that we are in, there was a previous generation in this country that started a move of God, and that we are completely convinced that they were going to spread across the world and become powerful men of God in the universe. And they were completely convinced of that. And I tested of a bit of that generation, and quite honestly, there were people here whom I knew that we are supposed to go to the ends of the earth. Some got a sample of it, but never quite, you know, did it. But you see, as wise people, we have to study what it is about them that made them not fulfill that mandate. Only then can we have any sense of certainty that we will not make the same mistakes. And you see, there are people who, when they do not study mistakes of the people who walked before them, because everybody makes a mistake, even those who are mightily used of God. Now, when they do not study what mistakes the previous people did, they go and make the same mistakes. And yet, they actually think they are so, how could that person have done this? But then they go and do the same thing. I was listening to a man who the Lord somehow commissioned to go and study all the generals, God's generals from the 16th century and so on. So he studied their lives in detail, and the purpose of it was to present those people's lives to the people who lived at the time, just so that they do not, they learn from those people, but also do not make the same mistakes. So this guy said, I'll just give you the story. This guy said that there was this powerful evangelist around the 1960s who had, you know, they used to have tents, big tents, and seat sometimes 5,000 people, which, trust me, at the time was absolutely monumental. Of course, now, if you know, there are bigger numbers of people, but so this man used to fill the tent every day, and there was some kind of revival. So one day he came to his tent and they told him that he came to the tent and it was more or less empty. So he said, "Where are all the people?" Then they told him there's a certain woman who came, who pitched at a tent not too far away from here. Everybody has gone to her tent. So this man, now this woman was perhaps the foremost healing evangelist of that time. So he said that this man, because of course of anger, that he comes and he's expecting the usual big crowds and there is nobody. He said that woman is a witch. So in 6 weeks he had died. Of course the woman wasn't a witch. She was a powerful woman of God. Who all of you know. So now that powerful woman of God ran her ministry, but she was powerful in miracles, signs and wonders, everything. I mean, and by powerful, I mean extremely powerful. Because I remember even reading a Newsweek story acknowledging the miracles that used to happen at her meetings. So, by the time you get to the devil's outlets, acknowledging, it's like CNN acknowledging what? A miracle. You understand? Performed by the power of God. When the false prophet comes and calls fire from earth, CNN will acknowledge it. Because the world receives their own. Because it's the same spirit. You understand? But now they cannot. They will not. But for her, one day she called. They were saying that she would put an electric something in her hand. So that when she touches people, they fall. And all these things. And of course, there were Baptists there fighting her and so on. And one man even put $5,000 if she can prove a miracle. And of course, when somebody is being used of God, they just let those jokers put their money and they go on. If you're distracted by that, you cannot be used by God. So if a Baptist man is there proving that miracles were for longer, you just ignore them and go ahead and do your thing. Anyhow, so she called TV channels and all the media with their cameras and told them, "You come and prove if indeed God is moving at this meeting." So all of them came and set up their camera somewhere behind. And keep quiet, just roll your cameras. Don't say anything, shut up. So they got people who were on wheelchairs and some of them extremely crippled and put them in the front like this, so many of them. Then as usual, this woman comes. First of all, people worship, she hasn't come. Then when she comes like a force, like when she walks in, like it's almost like a wave has walked in. So she comes very thin and tall like this and very eccentric, and she starts worshiping. So she worships, and then she can say silence. Then people keep quiet for minutes without any single sound except the keyboard. Then at one stage, sometimes they would go on like that for a while, then she says, "He has come." That's all she would say. And miracles would start happening. Now, when she said he has come, the people who were on the wheelchairs started shaking like there was electricity. All of them jumped off the wheelchairs. Some of them had been very crippled. And the media were there rolling their cameras. So after that, the media did not say anything good about her, but they did not say anything bad about her either. So they just left her alone. Because you know when you know you've seen it. So they went. None of them reported that there were miracles. No, they cannot do that. But they did not continue saying those things of she hypnotizes people and what. So they just left her alone. Anyhow, so now, because she was so powerful in that, she needed, these tent meetings sometimes would last almost days. So there was a certain good teacher of the word whom she wanted to come and teach the people like in the afternoon, so that she comes in the evening and just, you know, does her thing, the miracles. So she asked him to come and, you know, teach, and because she wasn't a good teacher. Now the guy jumped. So she kept on asking him, and then he jumped. Then she also said, he's even a false teacher. And a few weeks later, she also died. Now, you see, there are some of these things where, by just understanding what was in the past, you avoid certain things, and you can stay away from them because you know this thing, I know so-and-so walked down there, and it was dangerous. And so-and-so walked down there, and it was dangerous. I'm not going to go there. And by the way, powerful people of God have gone, because when you get to a certain level of authority in the spirit, one false word is going to take you down. Because you are no longer, now some of you, you can talk all rubbish and it's okay. Because you are not at a certain authority in the spirit. Eh? But when you get there, every word has to be calculated. You don't say stupid things. Otherwise, you can go down. Because at that level, a word that is spoken by you, if you even say something bad about somebody, you imagine Elisha, people laugh at his bald head. And he just curses them, and immediately bears show up from nowhere and tear them to pieces. Kids, but they just laughed at his bald head. So now imagine somebody at that level of authority. Like, now is God the one who tore the kids? No, it is Elisha. And you see, when you have that authority and you use it like that, and you know, when you move in the Lord, I told these people this some time ago, long time ago, when about 2 or 3 years after I was born again, now we used, man, the only thing we ever did was go from conference to prayer meeting to Bible study. Like the only thing, I never worked. I was staying with my sister who was taking care of me. The only thing we ever did was do something to do with pursuing God. Praying, fasting, what, doing that. And after 3 years, one time I went to my place, Hoima, where I'm, from. So in the evening, I went to play volleyball. Now, in sport, like when you're going to hammer somebody, they say, ojakufa, eh? So they would say, in Runyoro, ojakufa, eh? So it was this phrase, eh? When somebody hits, they sky a ball for you and you're going to hammer, eh? Somebody. So now, I was about to say the same thing and the Lord told me, don't say it. He will die if you say it. Now the other people can say it and it's just a joke. Now because somehow I'd been so, like it was about to come out from within and I had a strong rebuke, don't say it. You'll cause the guy to die. Now you see it's just a joke. But when I say it actually, can you imagine? And I didn't know that. I was shocked. But you know when the rebuke of the Lord is so clear that I was about to say it, then I shut up. So I played the volleyball while you're not using those phrases. Now you see so many people say, man, ojakufa. Now you say that at a certain level of authority and it has an impact. Whether you're joking or not. Some people say, no, you're joking. No. When right now you will say I'm joking. Eh? But the time comes when you can no longer joke. With things like those. Anyhow. So then you understand that if somebody had studied the mistakes of the person in the past, they would never have committed the same crimes. And then they can build onto that. Now, on the day of judgment, if you had an example of somebody before you, which you should have followed, and you did not follow it, that person will not be judged as harshly. Because for him, perhaps he was the first person in that area. He was the front runner. Now, God expects you to look at the person who started and build on that and say, okay, he made this mistake, he made this, I'm not going to make the same mistakes. Now for him, those mistakes can even be overlooked because he was the first person in that line. Now for you, you come, if you make the same ones when you had an example, then it might be different. So anyhow, so this thing from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Now, one of the mistakes that were made at that time by that group of people was not understanding the spiritual principle of, okay, I'll put it in a phrase which, charity begins at home. You understand? The gospel has to start in Jerusalem. Only when it is in Jerusalem does it go to Judea and Samaria. And only when it is saturated there does it go to the uttermost parts of the world. You understand? Now, if you look at those people, somebody, and you see, you will receive power. You will receive power. Yourself. Now remember, the gospel has to start in you, in the person. Now when the person has learned how to walk with God and certain things, then you become a witness to him, to Jesus. First in Jerusalem. Jerusalem can be Kampala. Okay? Can be Hoima. You understand, eh? But where you first are, and until that place is saturated, if you go out, it will not be effective. Now, people don't understand that that's a spiritual principle. So now, if somebody comes right now and tells me, want you to go and preach in time message, let's say somewhere in South Africa, I will say no, because it has not yet saturated Uganda. If I run there, I will lose everything. Do you understand that? Now, this does not even, by the way, work for only for ministry. This works even for business. Okay? It works also for business. And it's very powerful, and it's a spiritual principle. And the people who land on it understand that you can, unless you've built something at home and have saturated it. Now, then among those guys, the only one who actually made serious progress and was on TBN and was preaching with top people is the one who first went across this country and evangelized every town and started a church. For about 10 years, he was only evangelizing Uganda. Every single town has a church which was planted by him in the 80s. Then in the 90s is when he started moving. That's why he appeared to have some success. Now there are people who even your suburb doesn't know about you. But you're already running to America. You are never going to have an impact. And that is a spiritual principle. Praise the Lord. Right now, even Kenya, I wouldn't go. Because the other day I was seeking the Lord and I was asking him, why hasn't this entire message become a serious conversation across the country? Like I thought it should have by now. So I went to seek the Lord for that. So until now, the whole of the country is talking end time. Okay? Only then, by this spiritual principle, am I released now to go to the next level? But until then, if you fumble, you lose it. And that is even true for business. Okay, the other day, this guy who called me at night, actually it was Friday, I'd just come from preaching. The guy who owns Java's. So he calls me at around 11 p.m. And I think he had seen me somewhere on a magazine cover or something. So he called me and we had a chat. I know him from football from those days. Eh? So, and he told me how he started a similar outlet in Nairobi and how he has been overwhelmed with clientele. They are full from morning to evening till they close down. And he said they are overwhelmed with, you know. So, then he told me that he didn't want to go to Kenya until he has filled Kampala with Javas and people are happy with the product in Uganda. Only then did he want to move outside. But you see now, this man, he connected to a spiritual principle without knowing. Now you have only two Javas here, people are still complaining, your chips are not good and what? Then you run to Kenya. Then you lose even Uganda and you will never succeed in Kenya. Do you understand? Eh? These are spiritual principles. Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, those are places of Jews. Now Jesus comes and says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He has to start from Israel for that gospel to spread throughout the world. So even Gentile comes and says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, Jerusalem, home. So Jesus was sent to the Jews only. But he knows it's going to come to the uttermost parts of the world, up to here. But he has to start by saturating the gospel. Where? From the start. Now, I'll give you another example. There's, actually, it was given to me that by that very man, because we were discussing that thing. Of course, I knew that principle and so on, but it was interesting hearing the business angle, because he's a businessman, I'm not. So he told me what he called the Toyota way, what they call the Toyota way. Now, there are so many motor vehicle companies in Japan. Mitsubishi, Nissan, what? Now, when all of them started exporting cars, Toyota said, no, we want to first satisfy the Japanese market. And only when the Japanese market is satisfied with our product, shall we spread out. And guess which of all those is more successful? Those who started at home. It's actually, you go and check it out. It's called the Toyota Way. Start from home. First, make the people at your place satisfied. Now, do you know that even the scripture says that? You know, there are certain things. Even home can mean home, home. If you're preaching the gospel and your home, your wife or husband is disgruntled, it will affect what you're doing. Actually, in most cases, they start fighting it. Because it has to start from home. You understand? That's why the scripture says that, you know, a deacon must be, you know, able to take care of his house, the husband of one wife. Because if you can't take care of your house, how can you take care of the church of God? Now, you see, that's wisdom which people overlook. But it's in the scripture and it's spiritual. If you cannot take care of your home, then God says he called Abraham because he knew he would order his household to follow the Lord. Now, if Abraham cannot take care of his household, how can he be the person through whom God creates a whole generation of faith? It has to start from home. And he shows that he can manage his home. Then he spreads out elsewhere. Now, some of you who have dreams for international things, as all of you should have, somebody say amen. If first make sure you satisfy the Ugandan market. Okay? Now, you know my book, Strength of Character. I went to Prophet Elvis and he told me that, you know, it's going to go around the world and what. But you know, I don't want to go anywhere else until I believe there's a certain number of copies I've told myself have to have sold in Uganda before I even ever step out of here. Because if I hurry to go elsewhere, it just fizzles away. Now that's what happens. Eh? It just fizzles and dies. And then you wonder, why did it die? Now, if you actually start home and everybody, now, is everybody talking character, what, all those things here in Uganda? No. If not, I will stay here. And first of all, build here. Until everybody is satisfied here. If everybody is talking about end time here, then it's time for me to go abroad. If they are not yet, then I will not. Praise the Lord. Now, you see, these are spiritual principles. Now, you see that guy who is even doing it? He landed on it. And for some reason, he just said, I'm going to do this. Now, when he started abroad, his first one, success. Now, it will go from there, success, success, success. And then it goes and builds. And it's just a small principle which he followed. Now, so many people, you don't have anything in Uganda. They call you to preach there. You're going to preach there, go preach there. And then, your ministry just fizzles away. Shoo, 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 and vanishes. And do you know how many I've seen? So many. So many which are like that. Because of just not following this simple principle. What is your core message? If you're the watchman, your core message is end time. Have you caused the people in your city to be talking about end time? Because when the Lord called me, he told me that I want to use you to raise awareness of the church towards the soon return of the Lord. Now, so if I've caused Kampala to talk about end time, and then I've caused the country to talk about end time, and then the conversation about end time is ongoing, then will I be ready to move? Praise the Lord. Now, those are some of the biggest mistakes made by those people. Somebody goes abroad, spends 3 months, comes back home, there is no church. The people have gone with somebody, broke away, started another church, somebody did what, and somehow all those ministries go down and fizzle and die. Okay, they can stay alive, but flickering. Life support. And yet those people actually called with an international mandate. But you see, if you hurry, if you fumble for it, you miss out on something. Now, these were some of the things which, by the way, this is one of the things which hammered so many men of God. That's why the only guy who actually seemed to have success at that time is the one who started by first evangelizing this country. There is not a single trading center in this country that did not see a crusade by that man. And he's an evangelist. And he evangelized those places, planted churches. Then when he stepped out, he was received. And it's not like, I don't know, it's because you can't even put a finger to it. Why? Because when you step out after everybody at home has known about you, then somehow even abroad receives you because of that principle of Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world, but also the principle of you as a person. Now, here is where so many people miss it, because you want to have a ministry which is bigger than you, which is not possible. You will be endowed with power, and you'll be a witness. So it has to start with the person. Now, God calls somebody and starts dealing with them one-on-one. And the person wants to run out. He says, no. First, Kakana, sit here. Let me teach you. Because to the extent that you learn from me is the extent you'll be successful out there. You can't give what you don't have. Praise the Lord. So now you see, if you ignore what is inside of you and what you're giving out, there will be nobody who wants to eat it, because there is nothing. So you have to first, it's like, can a chef cook food and other people like it when he doesn't like it? I don't know. I think somehow if the chef likes his food, people will like it. I'm not saying that because I don't know anything about. But the man has to first taste his soup and say, wow, this is good. Now, to the extent that he appreciates his own work, other people will appreciate it. Praise the Lord. So you'll be endowed with power, the inner you. Now, the other day, I was talking with my wife, and because she knows she wakes up in the morning, goes to a certain room, closes herself there, and starts doing voice drills, and sounds like somebody who is being choked. And it's not a very pleasant sound. But you see, some time ago, I would wonder, why do I start singing and I can't maintain? Even one line of singing I've already broken. Then somebody told me that's why we practice. You see, it's just that simple. Now I thought I can just come, wake up one day and sing like Sarah. I can't. Because she practices, I don't. So when I start a song, then I run out of breath. So, but now when somebody goes and practices, they manage to prolong their breath. Okay? And then they can sing a whole line and what? And you think it's that naturally. Nobody is like that naturally. The only difference is they practice. Praise the Lord. Now, so I was telling her that in the same way, those people who want to be spiritual have to first learn how to practice their minds. Amen? The mind is the connection to the spirit, spiritual. You cannot get there when your mind is like this. So anybody who starts practicing, it's like practicing the vocal cords. So you have to start practicing your mind to think on one specific thing which you want it to think about for a specific time. And then it will start like me singing. I say one sentence, even less than half, two words, then my voice breaks. Then I have to first pull air in. Now then you can't sing like that when you're pulling air in every time. But if I started practicing and making those unpleasant sounds that my wife makes, then I would become better. Have you ever had somebody doing voice drills? It's not good. It's not good. Praise the Lord. But I endure. And the scripture says, he who endures to the end will be saved. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so you have to go. Do you see why? Do you see those music videos and all that? The devil deliberately makes everything you watch flip from left to right so that your mind cannot stay on one thing. Have you ever seen cartoons? I can't watch them. Because they jump from one thing to another. Now somehow then they program the children to have their minds like this. Then you go to music videos. Man. Like music video. Why must they do them like that? Somebody dances one thing. You still try to see the dance, then they move to another, then this one, then they come back here, then they go here. But you see, that is by design, so that you cannot control your mind. So now when you start trying to do practice, get your mind to focus on something, then you have to come against the default nature of it, which is wayward. And you have to impose certain things. You have to train it to be in one place. When you start, you can only think about one thing for 2 or 3 minutes. Sometimes even 30 seconds before your mind moves to America, to some cousin of yours who recently fell out with her husband. Then you spend there another 1 minute, then shoo, to the village. To what? And so the mind. So now people get discouraged when they do what? When the mind does that. So, but you see, it's like me getting discouraged when I can't sing. If I really needed to sing, but I don't have to, you see, I can only start a song, and those who know how to sing do what? Sing. Then they sit down and I teach them anytime, which is my thing. Praise the Lord. So, but you see, if you really have to get into the spirit, let me tell you this. I read a story some time ago in a British newspaper, and they were looking at what is it that certain people have, that when they are accidents where other people died, somehow these people survived. So they went interviewing certain people. A certain man had an earthquake, and he was buried under rubble for 3 days. And he had only a very small breathing space. I mean, a pocket of air. Just very small. And yet he survived the 3 days until they came and rescued him. Now, another guy was in these jet ships in winter. And then the ship sank. Now, when they realized... Now, this man tells his story, and they say that when they realized that when all of them realized that the ship was sinking, and they realized that there's not going to be enough time for them, and this is recent, I don't mean Titanic 1912, I mean like last 20 or so years. So, he said there were three categories of people. There were those who froze, whose minds froze. Now, I remember reading this story, and it shocked me. He said, there are those whose minds just froze. When they realized they were going to die, somebody just sits there, and he stops thinking. His mind has frozen, and he waits to die. And they sank and died. Then there were the second group who panicked. They jump up and they're running all over the place, but doing nothing. But they are running, and what? At least their mind hasn't frozen, but it's not productive. Because you're running to this, doing that, and then eventually all of them did what? He died. Then he said there was a third category who, when they realize now we are in this trouble, then they say they compose themselves and start thinking rationally. So he said, for him, he said, this whole ship has got to have like some kind of rescue boat. It cannot be there without a rescue boat. Now you see, everybody else has panicked or has frozen. For him, he's thinking. So he goes around the ship, starts walking around the ship, walks around, then finds a balloon. You know, those be balloon boats. So then he says, if there's a balloon boat, there has got to be a pump because it was deflated. So he looks around where it found it, and sure enough, he found a pump. Now, they started pumping it, and a few people joined him. But he said he was shocked that he thought they were good. Other people would come and overfill the boat and they also sink. But other people had frozen. They were seeing what these people are doing, but they were doing nothing. So he pumped the boat, filled it with air, pushed it onto the sea, and somehow got on it, a few of them, when everybody else was looking at them and had frozen. Now, you see, you can't know how your mind will respond to certain things until you're in them. You remember Jesus comes walking on the lake when there was a storm and finds his disciples. And they are screaming. You see, when you've been with somebody for at least 2 years, and you see him and think he's a ghost, then your mind has frozen. I mean, they had been with this Jesus for a while. Then the guy shows up, then they say, ghost. But you see, salesmen, be still. It is I. Now, only in the place of still do you actually acknowledge. Now, anyhow, so these guys jump onto the boat, and then they start sailing away. But of course, it's very cold. They have no warm clothes. So now, also them, they were divided in three categories. Those who had survived were also divided in three categories. The first category were very despondent and negative. They said, what was the point? We are still going to die of cold here. We are going to die. Those ones, one by one, died of cold. They froze to death. Now, there was another one who was very positive. Only one. He said, no, we are going to be rescued. I believe we'll be rescued. We are not going to die. if God saved, I mean, if he wasn't saying God, but if God saved, we will not die. So at least he was a positive thinker. Now, when all the other negative guys died, this guy was still alive. But after some time, his positive talk started becoming, you know, we are not going to die. We are not going to die. We are not going to die. Then eventually he also what? Died. Now the only man who survived is the man who knew. And unfortunately, these things are taught in, you know, Eastern religions, and people think associate them with cult. But this is in the Bible. Okay? It's in the Bible. And I'm going to show you where it is. But you see that whole thing of if you somebody introduced this to you, you learnt it from here, then you suddenly associate it with that. That's fakeness, eh? Fake news. So this guy decided he was not going to let his mind think about the cold. So using his mind, he thought about some other things, not the cold. He just tuned his mind away to some other things. That's when you think about your wife and your children and what, you know, and you refuse to think about the cold. And you know what happened? The cold actually didn't get to him. Now, this is not in a, this was in a newspaper, a British newspaper, The Times. The mind, he closed the cold away using the mind. And he just did not think about it. And he refused. So he then he stayed there. He was normal, not cold, not putting on any warm clothes, just normal, but just channeled his mind deliberately to some other things, not how he felt and the cold. And the cold did not get to him. So he thought about other things, thought about other things. Then he saw a chopper coming. Then they threw down a ladder for him. Then he climbed up into the chopper. Then he got into the chopper. And they were shocked because he wasn't covered and he wasn't traveling. And other people had all frozen to death. And he was there. And so they did what they know how to do. So they covered him with warm things, a towel and what. Then he said as soon as they covered him, then he suddenly allowed his mind to think about the cold. He almost died in the chopper. Because all the cold which he had held away for all these days just confronted him once and he started shivering and trembling. So they had to apply something just to keep him alive after he had been rescued. So now you see, you say, I remember teaching this somewhere and the pastor told me that for us we stick on the word. You see, this is the Bible. You can never, now then you know that person, he told me that for us we are a stickler on the word. Then you know he's going to stay in religion. Because the only way you're ever going to get any form of spirituality is by first focusing your mind on something. Okay? I told you how the Spirit taught me that. If you want to make sure it doesn't rain here on a Friday, on Thursday I focus my mind on this place for 30 minutes and I just see clear weather. And then when I know I've succeeded, I know it inside me, there's not going to be any rain. So I wake up in the morning knowing there's not going to be any rain. Because if it rains here, then there's no fellowship. You understand? Eh? But you see, the Spirit taught me that one day, and I had other things on mind. I told you that I stepped out on my balcony, looked up, and it was a very clear sky. Then he told me, do you know you can call all the clouds and they come here? Then he said, now, just look at the sky. Imagine clouds all over. Then go inside the house. Don't look at the empty sky. Keep that picture in your mind, which you heard of, you know, of the clouds. So I went inside and I prayed. For 30 minutes, I knew the clouds were going to come, but they were not yet there. But I continued praying now for other things. After about an hour and a half, I came back and the place was all full of clouds. Then I said, now let me send them away. Then I started enjoying it. So I would say, now I want to. Then the Holy Spirit told me, no, you only use it for a purpose. You don't just what? You don't just play games with it. So you see, but you see, if you can't focus your mind, it won't happen. And do you think everybody can focus his mind on for 30 minutes at the start on anything? No. But you have to do vocal drills. You have to do mind drills. And also learn how to focus your mind. Now, you will not be able to. You won't need anybody to even interpret a dream for you. Just get the dream the way you dreamt it. Start thinking about it and pray in tongues. Just think about the dream. Then I moved here. Then I went down. Then I did this. I do that. Then replay the dream again. I guarantee you in about 15 minutes at most, you'll have the complete interpretation of that dream. So it's just that. Now, you imagine somebody can keep away. Then when I shared it with somebody who is very spiritual, he told me that one day, I'm talking about a very powerful man of God. He told me one day he knocked his toe. He was moving somebody. Then he knocked his toe on something. Then he refused to think about the toe. And deliberately channeled his mind away on something else. The toe stopped paining. And it could actually have had a wound. But just by taking your mind away from it, you keep it there. Now, 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Okay? The loins are these. The waist. Can you imagine your mind having loins? Gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, protect it. Okay? And be sober. And rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, do you know that this is actually anything where you have to gird up the loins of your mind and just be in control of it? That's why it says somewhere in Proverbs that he who conquers his spirit is greater than one who has conquered a great city. Can you imagine like somebody who has the ability? You knock your toe, it could have had a wound, but you just think away from it and the toe just forgets that it was knocked. And this is... Now, the other guy who was under the rubble after the earthquake, all he knew to do, he had been taught these things. Unfortunately, this is spirituality, but most people learn it from those Eastern religions. So he knew if he gasps and panics, he will consume all the oxygen in a few minutes and die. So he just calm. And you know, you consume very little oxygen when you're calm. And then 3 days. Then after that, he had people digging. And they are calling, is anyone there? What? But you see, if you shout, they can eat oxygen, you finish it. And you die even before they reach you. Yet they have already reached you. So he remained calm. Until they finally pulled off all the blocks of him. And there he was. And everybody was saying, how did you survive like this for 3 days? And he's the only one who survived. Now you see, when in a state of panic, and these are things which people have to understand, in a state of panic, you cannot succeed in doing anything good. Praise the Lord. Amen? Now let me have somebody tell you a story here. Did your sister tell you you're supposed to talk? You come and tell us your story in like 5 minutes, very fast. What happened to you? And there's somebody else. There's some young girl who is healing. What? Where is she? She's there. You come and sit here where we can see. Okay, start.
So, the story is about the experience I had when I delivered my second born baby, who is now like 1.5 years. So, when I reached theater, I collapsed and they put me under full anesthesia. So, I like drifted. I never left my body, but it was that experience where you see things, you're moving. It started like how you can float out of your body and you feel so light, like you go and start flying. And I flew upwards. First, like the place looked like earth, light. There was no more light, no more things, shapes of clouds. And then a tunnel appeared out of nowhere. Usually, sometimes when they are displaying the screen, there's some tunnel-like thing they display, and I'm like, I've seen that place before. I don't know where they got that from. But the tunnel appeared, and in we went, and we were like a multitude of people, so many. But you can't touch the person, you can't talk to the person, but you know your many going. So we are all going, and I can hear a certain deep, I don't know how far I can go into depth, cry of death. Like it sounds like people know that, I'm finished this time round. Like it's, wow, continuing, like reverberating. Like how you hear in those horror movies. Reverberating sound of death. The word, I can still hear the word if I focus like the watchman is saying, but I cannot spell it. I cannot say it. It has no alphabet here on earth that can write it or spell it. But I know the word. If I had it again, I would recognize it. It's heavenly. It's not earthly. So the people are screaming like that, and the tunnel is continuing, and we're going, drifting like that, reverberating, lazy sound. People are going. Then on my left appeared is another tunnel that had light. But this dark tunnel, people were still zooming towards the dark tunnel. I alone turned to the what? The lit channel. And when I turned there, who do I see? The prophet to the nations, preaching in an arena, like an arena, like how you see those football arenas. But the arena is so lit up, so bright, and they're singing heaven on earth, but they're singing like heaven on earth, here in a small arena. But people in Russia can hear, people in Australia can hear, people in Eastern continents can hear, Japan, those ends, they can hear, the West California can hear. Like the four corners of the earth are all reverberating with a deep cry from heaven for the heavens to be manifested on earth. And it was almost as deep as the other death cry, but in the opposite sense. Heaven, like reverberating with that heaven on earth. And it was like Prophet Elvis was there in the center of it all. And then the other spectacular thing I saw right there was that the stadium was lit up by light coming straight from the feet of the Lord, with no bulb, no lighting, nothing, just light from the feet of the Lord straight into the stadium. And that was my experience. I delivered my baby, got out, and I was like, how I came back, I just found myself leaving now that area and just drifting back up, and found myself in the hospital, the anesthesia clearing, just like that.
Okay, what did you get in all that experience? What is it like up there? What is the main thing?
The main thing I got up there is like, there's a way heaven and earth are just married together. Like the will of heaven is really dying to be here on earth. And somehow, is it that we are not letting it be as such? And that, like, the prophet is calling us to that kind of level where we draw heaven's resources to earth. Like, heaven's resources, not even materially, but spiritually, like those powers of the age to come, so to say, that they may be here.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So now you're here, eh?
Now I'm here.
And you see, she's even expecting again. Eh?
Hey, I may go back.
Praise the Lord. So she wants to go back. Glory to God. Come. Where is that lady? You come and tell us also.
Praise God. I do missions under the Watchman, and I first went to Kumi for a mission, and there was this friend of mine who had a mom. She was sick and she was bedridden, so she called me to pray for the mom, and I went with my Bible. So I told the mom, it's not me who is going to heal you, but it's this word that is going to heal you. And so I read the word to her. I read Mark chapter 11 verse 23. And then I asked her, do you believe the word can heal you? She said yes. So I prayed for her in line with that word, and I spoke to her situation. Then the next day, imagine, she was very bedridden and they were planning to take her to hospital the next day. But then what happens is they actually didn't take her, because we all found her in her shop the next day. So she still had some pain in her leg. And then the doctor tells me, the leg, she says the leg was not healed so well, so you can go back. I said, no, the word has already gone forth, so it's doing its part. And then I also exercised authority, as Papa taught us, and I closed up some club. If you are from Kumi and you knew a club by the name Queen's Club, it is no more. Praise God. The Lord also led me to Bundibujo and Congo. From Bundibujo, I actually met a girl who had a spiritual, I think it's an oppression from the devil, and She was performing well in class, as she told me, but then she suddenly dwindled, and then she starts experiencing something in her head, like something is entering and cutting across. So I pray for her. And then by the time she goes back to school, she's like, it's not there. And I give the glory to God for that. Another thing is, when I was in Jinja, I actually made juice. So I love juice. And when I made juice, I didn't know we were going to be many who partake of it, drink of it. So I go to the dining, and to my shock, we were many. So I had only added 2 glasses of water into this juice. So I am like, okay, how am I going to divide this juice among these people? So I said, okay, for me, I will not drink. I'll just divide it among them, little, little. So as I gave them the juice, I realized I had given them half-half. But then I realized there was more juice in the jug. So I kept adding juice until I filled up their glasses, and I also took a full glass and even added myself because there was still more juice. And then another thing is, I actually woke up one morning and I found these kids were seated inside the room. I didn't know. I just came to know later on that in Jinja I was hosted by a family of one artist, Rachel Magol. I don't know if you know her. I actually didn't know, but the Lord took me there anyway. And so these kids were so bored. For the first time, their judge had not paid GoTV. So they looked so bored. I called them and asked them, do you believe that the Lord can pay GoTV for you? They said, yeah. So I knelt with them at the table and just got my Bible. I read to them Matthew 18 from verse 18 to 20. And so when I read them this scripture, I told them we are going to agree in prayer. And the next day, after that agreement, they came and woke me up from my bed. And they are like, come and see. All the stations are there. So they were so excited. They were watching TV for 2 days free. Then...
Nobody paid for it.
No one had paid.
It just came on.
Yeah, they were watching.
Okay, wonderful.
And then, of course, they were excited. They went and told the maid in the kitchen. They told their auntie who was around. And then they waited for the judge to come back. She also comes back and they tell her, we made a prayer of agreement and here we are watching free GoTV. And then Kajanja, she calls, GoTV guys are here to confirm. And just like, actually the women, triggered Saul's anger or jealous towards David, they triggered GoTV against us. But we had tested the goodness of the word for 2 days.
Why didn't you upgrade them to DSTV?
I didn't think about it. Praise God. And then one morning I woke up and the Lord told me he wanted to teach me something. So I stayed on my bed. He told me to stay seated on my bed. So when I stayed seated on my bed, I just sat there and he told me to just keep rubbing my hands together while meditating. He told me to keep quiet and say nothing. So I was just there. I wasn't praying in tongues. I wasn't doing anything. So he just told me to envision what I want to see and then just use, because I have fire sensations in my palms. So I usually experience them a lot. Yeah, when I'm going to pray for sick people. So it so happened that when I was still there, he told me to go to Gloria. She was a girl who had very many pimples in her face. They were so big. So he told me to just not touch her, but just look at a part on her body, which is more clear than... because she's very brown, so I could not look at myself. I had to look at her hand, and I saw a clear part. And he told me to carry it into my mind. So I carried that, and I just envisioned on it for some time as I rubbed my hands together. And then as I rubbed my hands together, the sensation grew. I actually have been having it, but I didn't know how to use it. So he told me I can actually draw that which is within to that which is without. So I actually did what he told me. And I just started doing this. I didn't touch her. He told me not to touch her. I just did this, and she told me she was feeling heat. Now, in 2 days, her face was very clear. She goes to Bushenyi, and maybe next time I will invite her here. You'll see her. Her face was very clear, and I give the glory to God.
So you transferred the clear skin to the face?
Yeah, I picked it from here.
Okay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And with your mind?
Yeah.
And then figured it out, then transferred it to the face?
Yes.
Any other testimony?
The ones of the powers of the age to come, should I share them?
Yeah, but there's something you told me about virtue going out of you, something.
Okay, I thought that was with you.
You thought that was what?
Just with you.
You didn't want to share it, it's okay.
No, it's okay, I don't mind. Praise God. I actually experience something every time I am standing somewhere to preach. For instance, when I go to missions, like when I went to Bundibujo, I didn't know that I was going to preach at a certain reception. So the Lord told me, prepare, you're going to teach, you're going to preach. Okay, during the time about which they called someone to come and speak on behalf of Letitia's friends, I wasn't one of the speakers, but somehow I found myself on my feet grabbing the mic from the MC, and I preached the entire message. Then after that, I felt so weak. I usually feel very weak after preaching and even after ministering healing to somebody. So I had a problem with it, and I was asking the Lord to take it away because I didn't like feeling weak. So when I was ministering to someone a few days back, before I met the watchman on Wednesday, someone who was infected with HIV/AIDS, I actually was ministering, and I was actually having it in my mind that I didn't want to feel that way. But then as I was praying for her, the Lord gave me Mark chapter 5, which has the story of the lady with the issue of blood and Jairus' daughter. Now he taught me, he has been teaching me from the book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, and he taught me that the power, the word of God, is living and powerful. The life is what he gave to Jairus' daughter, and the power is what came from his body. So he was asking me, do you know how I felt when that power came out? How did I know that someone had touched me? This is the same way, because it was from the inside out. Yes, that is it.
There's something I wanted you to say, which the Lord told you about many people who are here doing nothing. Say it.
Praise the Lord. Okay, I actually have a lot of dreams, and they disturb me when I wake up. I actually see many people here saying, when the watchman comes, like, we love Papa, we love him, but they stay seated. Now the sitting bit disturbs the Lord. So I was wondering what it was all about, and he was showing me that they should be standing up doing something. They should be standing out doing something, instead of just sitting there and saying, we love you, but they are not following instructions. So obey instruction.
Following instructions, like going out to preach and do.
Yes. Going out.
Amen.
To preach.
Glory to God. Since then, you're good. You know that thing which people don't understand, that when you minister in the spirit, it takes away from your flesh strength. You become weak. So that's what Jesus, I knew it in practice, because sometimes I even go here with Pastor Rego and leaves me sleeping in the car. And there's a time I slept for like 2 or 3 hours in the car, and my body is exhausted. And you see, just the ministration of the word, it takes something out of, especially if it's not from your mind, it's from the spirit. Because the spirit is, there's a high voltage going through a normal human being's body. So it leaves the body a bit shaken. So now, she gave me that scripture of the woman. Jesus knew power had gone out of him. You see? So he turns and says, who touched me? Then it says that he felt virtue. Virtue means power. So now, that is just one woman who's healing. Even the Lord noticed that something has been drawn from him. Now, you see, for you to minister it to other people, it has to first be in you. Do you understand? You will receive the Holy Spirit and you'll be endowed with power. Then you'll become witnesses. Now, after ministration like that, when you go away and you're feeling weak, sometimes you just want to be away and go and pray. Because by praying, actually, is when you what? restore that power. So if you stop praying or stop seeking the Lord, the ministration goes down and down, and then eventually you become a carnal person. Now, therein is the other mistake that so many people from the old generation did. You start a ministry, you have a certain form of success, and things are doing, moving in a certain way, but then you forget that you used to pray in a certain way, you used to seek the Lord in a certain way, so you stop. And then you become a very carnal church. That's actually, it's the most part that I was seeing. A survey in America said, on average, pastors in America pray for 2 minutes a day, on average. I'm not the one, I was seeing it in a, I think it was in some magazine, I've forgotten the magazine. 2 minutes, that's an average, that's not the least. So if there are those who pray for 3 hours, then it means there are so many who pray for 0 minutes. For the average to come from 3 hours to 2 minutes. Do you understand? That means people just get into organizing and it becomes like a business or like what? So you get, even a business, if you're in the Lord, if you don't pray, it will go down. Amen? If you don't do the things that brought you to there, it will go down and it will go down and you will not be able to stop it. So you have a certain level of success and you forget the foundation of it is the connection to the Lord, the intimacy to God, the ministration to the people. Then you get into arranging. Now, end with this scripture in Acts. First of all, this one I wanted us to see. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit. Actually, it means his soul, not his spirit, not the spirit. The soul, that is. Because anger is not the spirit. So you see, it's talking about the soul. Now, he who rules his spirit, or his mind actually, is greater than he who takes a city. So, the things that I'm teaching you of learning how to do mind control drills. Now I am meditating on this scripture only. Then spend the whole day meditating on it. Okay? That thing she gave of juice, which was not running out in a jug. So you pour, it stays the same. And yet you know it wasn't enough to fill those cups. Now you see, sometime last week when she came on Wednesday, I had been meditating on the continuous supply of God, which never runs out. Now you see in heaven, I was reading some. I was actually watching on Sid Roth. Some guy who said, you go there, when you pull an apple from a tree, it comes back. Another apple shows up in the same place you pulled the other one. If you actually just bite off the apple, it fills up again. Thy will be done on earth as it is where? So you go and take money from your account and somehow it comes back. That is, do you understand? That is how the continuous supply. So I'd been meditating on that, that you can actually be in a position where there is a continuous supply. Because that is how God does it. His thing does not run out. Can you imagine God create in the Garden of Eden? So Adam runs to God and says, man, all the trees, now we've run out of fruit. Is that possible? No, because there in the Garden of Eden, everything is restored the way it was. You eat, it comes back immediately. Then you eat again, it comes back. So now, Jesus came to restore us to Eden. Praise the Lord. Now, just by meditating on that, and just waking up in the morning, and now, see, when you say meditating, you think it means sitting down, crossing your hands like this and what? No. It's just thinking about it there when you're driving, when you're washing plates, when you're washing your clothes, when you're doing this thing. I even meditate when I'm watching football. So I'm watching Liverpool being hammered, and I'm actually thinking about the continuous supply of God. And I can look very, absent-minded. Because my mind is on something. I'm actually watching the football and knowing what's going on. But I'm actually, at the same time, I'm thinking about this. You know, then you start adding scriptures. What might it say here like this? It says like this. So I can actually live a life where I don't expect resources to end at any one time. Because that's how it is in heaven. And Jesus himself said, thy will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. So if there was no shortage in Eden, in the Garden of Eden, if the fruits and the trees and the food that God gave Adam was supposed to last them for eternity, then why should I live in a different reality when Jesus came to restore me to Eden? Praise the Lord. So you can have that reality if you just woke up and said, and for a whole week when you're doing your things, when you're on your computer, you're thinking, you know, and you see, all of you meditate, but you just don't know how to do it when it's a good thing. If somebody said something fake about you, you'd meditate without a problem. So when you're driving, my man, that guy, how can he say this? Eh? Even the other day, he didn't have rent. I'm the one who has had him. Now what thou this? Then he comes and says this. Then what? That's meditation. But you see, when it is on a good thing, you struggle. But you see, you have to, because your mind has been trained to meditate on fake things. Now you can train your mind to meditate on the proper things. I'll give you an example. Somebody, now, envy. You think there's anybody who doesn't get thoughts of envy or jealousy or what? Everybody does. But I can never let it stay in my mind even half a second. The minute it comes, I say, no, I'm not like that. You understand? Eh? Until everybody gets those thoughts. So those people who end up envious, you build on it, you get it, you make it. No. All those negative things, everybody gets them. So it comes, you refuse to dwell on it. Then you say, the continuous supply of God. Then you say, I'm going to meditate on that. Because that's how it is where he is. Eh? And actually, I even dwell in the heavenly places. So where I stay, apples are replaced when I eat one. Glory to God. Bank accounts are refilled when I empty it. You see, you want to believe it, but you can't. That's why you're not even saying amen. Eh? It's like it's at a distance. Now, every one of us starts when it's at a distance. But when I've thought on it, all the time when I'm doing other things totally different, unrelated. Every single, when I'm on the toilet seat, I'm thinking, continuous supply. I'm giving, like, everywhere. Okay, that was just to tell you everywhere. There's nothing special about the toilet seat. Eh? Praise the Lord. But you understand what I'm saying? Anyway, now, when you understand that law of supply, eh, imagine what that would do for you if you actually brought yourself to believe it. Amen? And you knew that the resources never run out. Because my sufficiency is not of mine, it's of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Eh? So he's the one who continuously does what? Restores. Eh? So if the account was saying empty yesterday, no, somehow it's going to have some money tomorrow because I live in a different reality. I live in the reality of constant supply. Praise the Lord. So now, you see now this lady goes there and the juice. She's saying, me, I want to drink. But no, continuous supply. Is that in the Bible? Yes. You remember the other lady of oil who said she was in debt and the prophet told her, go and feed. Eh? So when everybody has had enough juice, then it runs out. Glory to God. But how can the people in the Old Testament have that and we don't? And we are here saying, man, this kind of juice is... Oh, I add a lot of water than more sugar. Then you give people water instead of juice. Yet you have eternal life. Eh? Eternal life means, you know, life which is constantly renewed. Glory to God. One other thing I had to say before I end is Acts chapter 6. Now in those days, when the number of people in the church was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Now stop there. Now I want you to see that when you have a small ministry, there are certain things which don't happen. But when it becomes big, then certain things happen. So and so did this, now what, now the other person didn't view. Like so many things crop up. Eh? Because everywhere where there is a congregation of people, there is pettiness, unfortunately. So people are saying, our wives are not given food. The Hebrews are the ones eating all the food. Huh? And among other things. Now you see, go to verse 2. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now you see, these are the things which somebody comes to me and starts telling me about things to do with the administration of this ministry. There is an administrator. The only thing I do here is come and preach and pray for the ministry. Amen? I don't know how many chairs there are here. I don't know how many people are here. I don't know where they got this chair, anything, what. I don't know nothing. There is somebody who does all that, who is anointed for that purpose. Praise the Lord. Now, some people want to get me into the running of the ministry. I don't involve myself in that. By the way, I do not even involve myself. I don't even know how much money is collected, except the prophetic offering, because it goes into my pocket. And sometimes it even goes there without me knowing how much, because I'm on constant supply. Continuous, seriously, I am. Okay, now, So it's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Go ahead. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, if I do anything which is not prayer and ministry of the word, that is serving tables. It's not what God called me for. Now, that's how ministries collapse. Because the pastor is, you know, involved himself in so many prayer and ministry. The apostles said, no, for us, ours is to pray and to preach. Select people. And you know the people they selected? One of them was Stephen. Spirit-filled guys whose work was to do administration. Stephen the martyr. Not carnal guys. Spirit-filled guys to do administration. Now, if you're called, like in the 12, and you involve yourself in serving tables, it will come down. Because the ministry is the person. Okay? The whole watchman ministry is inside me. Do you understand? So I have to build what is inside me, spend time praying, seeking the Lord, ministry of the word and prayer. That's it. Now, chairs, over we are getting chairs from here, over we are what? None of my business. Do you understand? No administration whatsoever. I don't know. Somebody called me to ask me for a pulpit. I said, do I even know where they keep the pulpit? For me, I only come here, put my Bible on it and preach and go away and go and take my coffee. Now, everything else, there is somebody. Now, you see, if you're called in the ministry of these things, you don't get involved in certain things which are not your business. You are not called as an administrator. I am not an administrator. I am a teacher and a prophet. Now, that's my work only. And that's how these ministries are sustained. Now, I learned that I don't involve myself in administration of tables. Over how much do they give these people? How much do they give? Somebody comes and tells me, you know, like the choir, they are saying they don't give them enough. I don't know. I don't want to know. My work is to know the scripture and to pray for people. Glory to God. Now, these are some of the, I've just mentioned, there are many others actually I thought about, but of course, run out of time. But the main thing is to know that you are, if you are called in ministry, you are the ministry. Everything starts at home. And by home, it means inside you, then extends to your family, you know, then extends to perhaps your city, your country, before you can ever become international. Don't forget Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. If you try to overturn that order, you'll destroy an international thing. Glory to God. Now, some of you are called to do business and connections and all things which are international. But first, satisfy the people at home. And when they are satisfied with your product, with your business, you see how easy it will be when you step out. Praise the Lord. Amen. I've finished preaching. And now this lady, the Lord told her, some of you are sitting doing nothing. Doing nothing. And there is a lot you can do. Praise the Lord. There's so much you can do. Glory to God. You know, there are people, somebody was telling me some church, the pastor is a rich guy because he has a job, what? So he came on Christmas and said, we are not taking an offering. You give the people back their money. That they go and buy meat. Eh? That we don't need. You know, ignorance is terrible. Eh? Ignorance is terrible. Now you keep those people in poverty all their lives. And they will only look at what they don't have. Because the pastor said, abantu mbadize sente zaabwe. Tebaina sente. Let them go and buy meat and soda. Glory to God. Stand up and let's sing this song again once more. I am not my own. Get excited a bit. Eh?
I was bought with a price. I was purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. All my debts were paid by his sacrifice. Hallelujah to the Lamb who redeems my life.
Now with more vigor, everybody,
I'm not my own.
Oh,
I was bought with a price. I was purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. All my debts were paid by His sacrifice. Hallelujah to the Lamb who redeems my.
Now this is the last time, everyone.
Not my own. I was bought with a price. I was purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. All my debts were paid by His sacrifice. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Now He who the sun sets free.
He who the sun sets free is free indeed. Completely liberated from the curse of the law. He who the sun sets free is free indeed. Free to be a servant of the Most High God. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I am not entangled in the yoke of slavery. Jesus is the truth that has come to set us free. I am free, I am free, I am free.
First, wait. Now I want everybody to dance as we sing this. Eh? Dance, today is Friday. What? Did you used to dance on Friday? In school, what? Friday is for dancing. Eh? Okay, first we don't go only. Now just dance, everyone. If you don't know how to dance, look at me. Eh? Okay, just one time while you're dancing. I am not my own.
I was bought my own. I was bought with a price. I was purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. All my debts were paid by His sacrifice. Hallelujah to the Lamb who redeems my life.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for each and every person here. Father, I speak a blessing upon every person in this place in the name of Jesus. I thank You, Father, because You set free in Jesus' name. You set free from every sickness in the name of Jesus. I thank You, Father, because the anointing to heal is here in Jesus' name. Now, if you are sick of anything, now receive your healing right now in the name of Jesus. Receive your healing. You can even receive it on behalf of a relative in the name of Jesus. Just receive the healing. Say amen if you're sick of anything. Now, Father, I thank You in the name of Jesus for an increase. I thank You for increase. I thank You for expansion. I thank You because we've learned how to step out here and go and perform Your word in the name of Jesus. Because we shall not be doers of the word. We shall not be hearers only of the word. We shall be doers of it. Say, I'm a doer of the word. Say, I'm a doer of the word. Say, I first take care of home. And when everybody at home is satisfied, when everyone in my city is satisfied with my product, with my ministry, with my anointing, then I will spread to the country. Now, when everyone in this country is satisfied, then I will go all out and attack the region and attack the nations. So shall I become a world conqueror in the field where the Lord has called me. Somebody say, I'm a world conqueror. Somebody say, I'm a world conqueror. Now you decide which field you are a world conqueror. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. The Watchman, the King is coming.